again. I'm having a hard time hearing. I didn't quite get
it. All right, there you're much better.
Okay, good.
A lot of talk again about smart meters, Wi-Fi, radiation injuring us, that we're like in a getting a low dose of microwave all day long, every day now. Is that true? Do you have knowledge about that?
I have knowledge as far as believing or not believing Peter Boudoir, who wrote a book on zapping of America. I think that there's something to be said, and he makes a pretty good case for strong microwaves, like the local microwaves inside of a microwave oven. Some doors will leak that out, and if you're standing right in front of them with your head, and, you know, if your microwave is mounted head high over the stove, which many are, you have a tendency to get cataracts in the back of your eye instead of the front lens. It's in the back of the lens sac is where it is. And those cataracts are pretty bad. Oh, excuse me. And so is that possible? Yes. Are you getting bombarded with necessarily microwave radiation? Well, if you're on a cell phone, yeah. If you're on a... most telephones that are wireless inside the house, they're on 2.4 or 5.0 gig, and that's up there in the low microwave range, but it's up there. Are you getting bombarded with a lot of other microwaves? Sure. But the power, the strength of those microwaves is very, very much diminished. Microwaves decay just like light does. With the inverse square of the distance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was well aware of that a microwave oven itself can be leaking a little bit of radiation. It's not a good idea to, but, you know, the mild stuff, the low frequency stuff is what I was asking about. So in my own home, I have hotspot Wi-Fi, and then I use cell phone, and then I have a smart meter, you know, outside on the wall, and, that's been in for about 5 or 6 years, something like that. I never really noticed anything, but I just hear all these people complaining about it. And some people, you know, really talk very seriously about it. That's why I ask questions. So, you know, that's what's wrong with our government is we're the greatest technology on the planet, or we're, you know, all these people working, and, you know, rather than protect us, what's really going on, you know? So.
Yeah, and it's hard to know unless you get a meter out and you measure the field strength of a particular signal. Is there microwave penetrating your body? You bet. But there's an infinite number of frequencies between, you know, audio frequencies on up the RF scale that are out there also. And if they weren't, you wouldn't be able to pick them up on a radio. But when you look at the sensitivity it requires for a radio to pick them up, they're just not very strong. And they've not gotten any...
As an example, I had a potential renter female out here. She brought in a meter that can measure smart meter radiation. And it basically measured zero right up next to the smart meter, but she said that she could feel it, sense it, you know, and left.
Yeah, there are people who are a little more sensitive to that type of thing. Will you let me say that the jury is still out, that it's possible? But we don't know all the things that could happen. I want to point you to The Zapping of America in Paul Boudoir's book. Really good treatment of the whole thing, and that's where I am at right now. I've been reading that book. Do I avoid staring through the microwave door while my food's cooking? Yes. Do I avoid using the microwave whenever I can? Yes. Do I still use the microwave sometimes? And you just take precautions. Can you get burns from microwave? Yes, but it's unreal how much higher power it has to be. I think they, I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't say for sure, but it's something like 10 millisomething per centimeter, and that's supposed to be normal. And it is normal, except it's a little tough on the eyes if you expose it to that on a repeated regular basis. So I would say that it's still, the jury is still out. There are things that need to be looked at, and you may be absolutely right. She may be absolutely right.
Had a good friend. He worked for Sandia Labs. He worked in microwave and areas like that all his life. Tried to get him. He's retired now. Tried to get him to tell me what he knew, and his answer was, I don't want to make my government mad at me.
His answer was what?
I don't want to make my government mad at me, which is, you know, not a good answer.
Hang on.
It's an honest answer, you know, but it's not a good answer. It's not what you want to hear. So, and he's a very honest man. So he's someone you would ask that question to. So,
I know.
All right.
Okay. I don't know that I have gotten the right answer when I've looked for it. So I would appreciate, as you find out stuff, that you come back here and let us know.
I tried to get him to start listening. He also has run a big ham radio system out of his backyard all his life, huge tower. When I first heard about this program, I tried to get him involved in it. So far, I've been able to do that.
Good. Thank you.
But then I've since learned you're pretty knowledgeable. So we need is one person.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I could sure use.
I'll mention it to him again. So.
And you know.
I'm sure he must know things, and he's a real likable guy. So.
Let me do say that the 2 meter band on 144 to 148 megahertz is a ham band, and that's right about where, and it's in the book. It's in the ARRL license manual. There's a little graph, and that is just about where the body is resonant at that frequency. Now, the body is resonant at many frequencies, including microwave, but right there, the whole body is resonant on that. As a matter of fact, what makes HTs work, handheld transceivers, is that the body does act like a ground, and whatever antenna you're using bounces off the body and goes where it's going to go. So it actually makes it a better antenna, and you get a better performance out of your HT. So does that make sense?
Sure, that makes sense, because when I go to speakerphone, keep the phone away from you, the cell phone, I get people saying that it was better when I not on speakerphone, the signal. So.
Yep, that's a different frequency, so you may be right. There, it's a different thing that the your mouth is so close to the headset that you the automatic gain control inside of the hand receiver there actually cuts the mic down to where it's just listening to you and it can't hear anything else. Whereas if you're on a speakerphone, it's sitting on the table, it's 2 feet away from you, but it's opened up so it can hear you, and it picks up everything inside the room. So it's not exactly the same thing, but you're right. Any type of radiation is probably not good. Now, there are hams, like the guy that lives next to you, been doing it for how long, you say, 30 years?
Yeah, maybe longer.
Maybe longer? And he hasn't suffered any ill effects. I don't know why.
Actually, he does have prostate cancer now. He's fighting that.
Well, a lot of people have gotten prostate cancer that had nothing to do with ham radio. So I would think it is a marginal contributor, if at all. I would think it's not, because I know a lot of hams that they're perfectly fine. And they've been doing it for 40 years, 50 years. So I would say...
Yeah, I didn't bring it up for that point. I just brought it up to clarify to you. So.
Oh, okay. No problem. Well, did I answer your question at all?
Well, you know, basically your answer was nobody wants to know or nobody wants to admit. And, you know, we get all this great science, people getting paid, and it's like, you know, a load of, I'm not saying you, but in the scientific world of the United States of America and other, it's like there's a big game being played. And so, you know, you just ask a direct question to somebody and want a direct answer. I believe you gave me a direct answer, but human beings, we should not be guinea pigs, as all I'll say there. So, and if these things are damaging, they shouldn't be allowed. And I've read books that they're purposely damaging, you know, and I don't say that I believe that. I think it's a matter, if I talk on a cell phone for hours, yeah, I'll start getting a headache. But yeah. In my opinion, I don't think they're extremely hazardous, but the totality of it all, I think like this hotspot Wi-Fi I got in my house, I think it puts out more radiation than a cell phone does, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, but appreciate you trying, and you can get on with your show, whatever you had planned. I just thought, since I bumped into you at the beginning, I was going to ask you that. So
it started when we started recording, so you're perfectly in place where you ought to be, and I appreciate you coming on and asking. I want you to know that there's, you know, for every radio wave, there are a few characteristics. The wavelength and the frequency are interrelated based upon the speed of light. So as your frequency goes up, your wavelength gets smaller. Everything in the world is resonant on something. And the reason that you cut an antenna to the right size is because it's resonant on the frequency you're trying to receive. Finally, there's a power. I talked about the inverse square law of the power. Something that is 10 feet away is going to be 10 times as potent as something that's 20 feet away. So the distance you are, and the FCC has set distances. If you're a ham, you're supposed to be, if you have this much power, you're supposed to control who accesses the area under your antenna so they don't get too much.
Mm-hmm.
RF burns are very, very painful, and you definitely don't want to get into those RF burns. But not most, I would say most, if not all, and I qualify the all. Emissions from ham radio are very small. Most of the places that have emissions are also very small, just the fact that you're over 3-4 feet away. There has been some problems with the doors on microwaves at times, but it isn't every microwave. How do you know you have a microwave with a loose door that needs to be adjusted? Well, you have to get one of those meters, similar to what your renter was talking about, and measure around the door when the microwave is running. But everybody can be cautious by turn on the microwave and walk away from it. That has the same effect. You're putting that distance in, and every foot you get away lowers it by that much. So,
I personally don't use a microwave that much. You're talking now, so I'm going to mute out and let you go. Continue on.
I can answer
that way. I can use a speakerphone without having interference in the program's direction, and I won't be getting zapped with RF.
Yeah, you can listen all day on a speakerphone, but when it comes to you talking, I will say this,
there have been times when I've used the cell phone a lot, been at a laptop, had the Wi-Fi going, which is 12 feet away, and I'd swear I smell smoke in my nostrils. And I wondered if that was radio frequency, you know, burn.
Probably not, but there's that slim chance that it is. I can't recommend that book by Boudoir. I think it's Philip or Peter Boudoir, The Zapping of America.
That's a tough name. That's the title, and I can find it. The author's name starts with what letter? That's tough.
B, Bravo.
Okay.
And it's really a good book. I'm about halfway done with it. I have been for the last 3 months, I think. I'm going to get to it, but I had some other things I had to do first. But anyway, he does go into the details and how they... I can tell you that at one time, at the time he wrote it, that he was explaining that the power allowed to hit a person was more in the United States than it was in Russia, about 10 times more.
I've read that already.
So is that true? No, I haven't investigated that. I don't know if it's true or not. We're talking caution here. Like, I'm talking to you right now on my cell phone, but I never put that phone up in my ear if I don't have to. I turn it on speakerphone, and I put it down in front of my mouth. Not the best, but I've moved it 6 inches away at least from my brain, and I appreciate that. Now, is it going to make a difference? I don't know, but I'm taking precautions. It's just like I put my seatbelt on whenever I drive the car. And you can think of a thousand things that you do because it ain't going to happen to you. But if it does, I think I want to take all the precautions I can. So there you have it. Do you have any other questions? That was a good one, Jim, because we're a little short on questions here. And a lot of we're really large on hot air for me, and I don't want to do me all the time. Okay.
I can't think of any other.
Okay.
There was a lady.
I thank you for asking. Are there any?
There was a lady recently on the program said that she had some sort of machinery which could block out these low frequency radiation, but she wouldn't talk about what it was.
Are you familiar with a Faraday cage?
Yeah, I read about it and see how that it's radio frequencies is like water. Unless it's completely closed, it'll leak around through and through any.
Yeah, you got to be grounded all the way around. And,
yeah.
You can have a mesh on the cage, you know, with holes in it, as long as you pick it so that it's smaller than the frequency you're trying to prevent. Well,
gotcha.
Ideal figure Faraday cage is it's solid metal all the way around, it's conducting all the way around, and there's nothing where it can leak in. Can't leak any air into it. If you're surrounded by metal and there's no holes or anything, yeah, it will block out everything. I'm sorry?
Speaking of radiation from nuclear fallout, that Sandy Labs fella told me one day that you can just put newspapers on your windows. It will help protect you in your house from radioactive fallout.
That will protect some, yes. It will protect some alpha and maybe some beta. Gamma rays that really get in and do things. I've been told, okay, it's gamma rays that do the damage, like when a computer has a memory problem. It's gamma rays getting in there and tweak the mic for a bit. And that's highly possible. But usually, you know, you got enough metal up above you to keep the rain out that it's not an issue. There's a lot of different things there.
I used to have a really, really good buddy. He was actually retiring as it became electronic engineering from electrical engineering, and 150 IQ, and used to love to chat with that guy and listen to him talk, and you're starting to sound like that. So he actually was a section chief engineer building the Saturn V for Thiokol Rocket Motors.
I'll assure you that he's way above my pay grade.
He was a brilliant man, and I was very lucky to have him as a best friend throughout life. So
I was once a gunner on B-52s, and that gives you the spread between me and him. I'm nowhere near that. So
anyway, he would be a great. He deceased in 1998, age of 73. He'd be a great asset to have his intelligence with a group like in L.A. because he totally was independent of being controlled for money or bribes or whatever. After the Armstrong Company landed on the moon, he retired and went into business for himself, started a corporation in the motel industry in Colorado Springs in the Uinta, Colorado.
Cool.
And but he'd be – we need people like that, extremely intelligent, who are independent and would be on the right side of what is it, God's law, right versus wrong? All right. That's all I'm going to say. Appreciate the conversation. I hope we talk again. Terry, what part of Colorado are you in?
I live in Longmont. How's that?
All right.
It's about 30 miles north of Denver.
I know the area, so.
Oh, okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your participation today. Okay, if there's anybody else, I would love to talk to you, too. I didn't mean to hog all the time, but I need to do something
Terry.
Right now. So, yes.
This is Greg. I finally popped back in. I missed a couple of weeks. You were talking about some kind of interference or counteractive measures for EMPs or whatever. Or you might want to look up Wave Rider.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had to take care of some business here.
Yeah, there's a machine called a Wave Rider that's a patented technology from a Russian company that is supposed to help mitigate Wi-Fi signals in the home without, you know, stopping them. It makes them harmonized so that your body doesn't have distorted DNA, supposedly. Anyway, it's called Wave Rider.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I was watching Ty Bollinger on The Truth About Cancer, and he talked about it there, and because Wi-Fi is, you know, linked to cancer and all kinds of issues. But anyway, that's all I have. Back to you.
Well, thank you. Do you know how that works or anything?
Well, I do. It's a plastic that they have to culture or. I'm not sure exactly the word they used now, but it was they had to prep this plastic and it had to meet the specific criteria so they could send the vibrations through it to mitigate the Wi-Fi frequencies and harmonize them so they don't ruin your DNA. But it's a patented technology. The Russian guy invented it. They're not cheap, though. They're expensive machines. They're like $1,800.
Well, I've never heard of one of those, so you got me there.
Yeah, it's brand new technology. It's been out a while, but it's just coming to market, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. And who was this?
This is Greg in Florida.
Oh, hi, Greg in Florida. Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah,
Do you have any other questions? Go ahead.
No, I just been distracted. You know, I got other. I've got internet business I do, and sometimes I get swamped. Don't get back to it in time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you jumping on here and contributing to the meeting. I want to say that everything is out there, and radio waves, for the most part, don't affect people, for the most part.
Well, one thing that I did want to mention, sorry to interrupt, Dr. Mercola was expounded on some of that, where he said the calcium uptake receptors are super hypersensitive to radio frequencies, and they're not even accounting for that. They're only accounting for heat through microwaves and that sort of thing. So it's a little more sinister than they say. Because there's like 100,000 times more calcium receptors than there are other things in your body, I guess.
Yes, and I tend to agree with that that view. So it can be kind of nasty. And
he said basically throw your microwave away. It's 100 times more dangerous than your cell phone.
And the microwave, when it's safe, there's no problem. But as soon as it gets old and the door doesn't seal well, you've got a problem right there in River City. So I tend to agree with that, too. So I appreciate that input. Anything else?
No, I'm just in Florida here, and I'm anticipating the hurricane.
Oh, yeah, you got on the way down there.
Yeah, I'm charging my bow thing up.
Good.
I finally got it out of the package.
Uh-huh. And how's gas? You got gas down there still? I heard the shelves are clearing out.
Oh, yeah, it's empty. Home Depot's that ran out of plywood 2 days in a row. They've had trucks come in, and it's in and out. So they can board up all the windows and doors. And
have you talked to any hams? Are they doing radio communications there?
No, I'm just going to be listening until the emergency hits. Like I said, I don't have my number. I wanted to kind of, keep it on the, low.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you'll find is a ham. A hurricane is a great example of what we're talking about, a communities of safety.
Exactly.
It's been demonstrated in Texas that people help people, and that if you wait on the authorities, if you want to call them that, they don't always come through in a timely manner. So you have to kind of go with hang on a second. You have to kind of go with supporting yourself. And that's exactly what the people, the Cajun Navy, came across in Louisiana. And the Rubicon, I forget what their full name is. And there was many others. And they all trying to help each other out. And it's the same thing as Committee of Safety did. The difference is that they're helping everybody, and a local place, like a committee of safety, knows something about the county, knows where people live, knows who can take care of themselves, who can't. And if they've done their job, they know who evacuated and who didn't. And maybe you've got lists of everybody. And you know what? Everyone can do that same thing in their own county and come out way ahead. So I think it's good for the county, and I think it's good for the people. And they get a certain confidence once they can support themselves from a committee of safety standpoint. So I'm expounding on my own viewpoint there, but it's true.
I gotta agree.
Ham radio gives you a chance to be a communicator and get, even though the floods have ripped out the bridges, that the trees are all across the road and you can't go anywhere, ham radio will reach across to the other side of the county and let you know what the situation is. And sometimes that's a very good thing to know. So I encourage you, everybody, not just you or anybody else, but everybody, to get their ham license so that they can communicate with everybody. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a ham on every block and everybody just went and checked in with that guy and he kept a list and radioed it in of what the needs were of all the people on his block? I think that's a wonderful idea. And it can be done. And you don't need phone lines, and you don't need to be able to drive over there. You don't need to be able to cross the river. You just need to walk over to your next-door neighbors. And if you had five hams on the block, they could coordinate with each other. So there's a lot of possibilities in all of this. And I'm glad to be in a position where I can kind of help out a little bit. And I hope everybody does get their ham license. And I'm always available. My numbers are in the notice every time. And I'll just leave it there. I'm going on too much, toot my own horn, and I don't mean to do that.
Well, that's a great idea. I'm going to mention it to my neighbors that I've got a radio tomorrow.
Oh, good. And so you got your ham license, right?
No, I'm just going to tell them I can't talk on it. I can listen. And then if it gets to an emergency status, then we can talk.
Okay.
Of course, the state's been declared an emergency already.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I guess I could technically talk on it.
Yeah. Usually you want to be, it's threatening life or property.
Right. I agree. I understand.
So be careful. Can I ask what bands it's on?
Well, I don't even know. I haven't even turned this radio on. I just plugged it in to charge it.
Can you tell me what type of radio it is?
It's one of the Bofangs that I bought off of NLA.
Okay. I'll tell you what it will do. You can listen to broadcast FM. I don't think you can listen to AM. And it will do the VHF and the UHF. And so that's great for local communications or repeaters. Have you found the frequencies of the outputs of the repeaters in your area?
I don't know. It was pre-programmed for the stations that they had when I got it.
You ran it through the pre-programmed option on NLA?
Yes.
Oh, great. Then you'll have several. Have you been able to hear anything since you got it?
I literally took it out of the box 10 minutes ago.
Oh, great. Well, you should turn it on and start listening and give it, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour on every one of those frequencies, or tune through the frequencies to hear somebody talking and see if you can figure out what they're talking about.
Okay.
And you're right. If it's an emergency and you have an endangered property or person, you're welcome to transmit on it and call for help. And that's good. That's taking a big step towards being prepared. And you can call for help, and there might be some hams, especially on those repeaters that you can reach.
Yeah, I would assume they're gearing up for this thing.
It won't do you a lot of good for Irma, but if you want to download Chirp sometime and look at Chirp, Chirp will allow you to program your radio to whatever you want it to be, and you don't have to disturb any of the things that they built. As a matter of fact, your radio was, somebody probably programmed it using Chirp.
Well, there's a disc with it. I assume that's what you mean, or is that a different program?
I don't know that it's the right program. It might be Bofang's copy of what the programming is. And, yeah, that'll work if you can get it to run.
Okay.
So you ought to try that and download the frequencies, everything that you're using. You ought to get your ham license. As a matter of fact, you're going to go through about 24 hours of really bad times. Well, use that to read your ARRL license manual and get your ham license. Be ready to get your ham license once it goes by. It's still,
yeah, I'm going to have to as soon as I get my shed anchored down better.
Oh, yeah. You got once you get the preparations that you need to take for your property.
Well, I just don't like the way they did it. There's just four anchors that are on it, and I think it needs like eight.
Oh, okay. I think you're probably right. Have you been watching Joe Biscardi?
No. No, I don't even have TV. I have an internet access that I watch anything on.
He's on weatherbell.com. I like him a whole lot. You can get a free one-week subscription, which should cover the landing of Irma. For free.
What's his name again?
Joe Biscardi.
Okay.
He's at weatherbell.com. So I'll give him a plug because he's been doing a lot of good stuff. Go up and get a free thing and see what he's saying, because he's the one that predicted Harvey would turn up towards Houston and amble around in a circle, and he predicted all of that. So I thought it'd be good to hear what he's been saying. And I took a free subscription last Thursday, I believe. So there you have it. And I was pretty impressed with it. But anyway, we're getting off a topic here, and I'm sorry. But, I feel for you. I don't want you to have to get in trouble there. Take all the preparations you can. It was very nice of you to stop for a minute and come contribute to the NLA HamsNet. I really appreciate it, Fred.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your work.
Okay. Well, anybody else? We've been having a pretty good flurry of people talking tonight. Okay. Well, I don't have a whole lot more to say. I got separated from my ARR license manual when I went to my ex's house and went to watch their dog, and I'm just now finished, pulling back from the airport, and I'm walking the dog, and as soon as this is over, I'm headed back home. So I'm at a disadvantage at the moment because I don't see what we need to talk about next. But I can say, and I appreciate you guys having some questions, because I can respond to the questions just like my dog, or it used to be our dog, just tried to run after that rabbit. Okay. I'm having a great time in Colorado. We got haze from the fires. I want you to know that Boulder has an amateur TV thing. The Boulder Amateur Radio Club does TV, and there's one guy that built all of the converters inside some packs. And if you're a ham, you can broadcast TV signals. So these guys get called out if there's a local game or if there's a riot downtown, or if there's forest fires, because they can take it right out to the forest fire and show the command structure what is going on with a color TV. And that's pretty handy. So there's lots of factions. Well, one thing that your Bofang doesn't cover is HF radio. And HF is the one that goes a very long distance. And that's good, because right now you can dial up the National Hurricane Center and hear them talking to people that are way out in the Atlantic, or they're out in a different part of the country, and they get reports. I went once heard, I guess I've told the story before, so my apologies for if I've heard it. But I was downstairs listening to that frequency, and a guy said, well, I'm right here off of the Virginia coast, and the wind gusts are, I don't know what it was a unreal number, and they're gusting to this, and we've got 3 inches of rain the last hour, and it just doesn't seem to be letting up. And the National Hurricane Center said, thank you for your input. And then I went upstairs and I said, I just heard this guy. And just about that time on the radio, there was a weatherman. He says, we just got this in. On this island, they've had gusts up by this much. I said, well, that's exactly what the guy said.
Wow. That's great. Yeah.
Another thing is that, oh, I just had it. Brad, you're going to have to just give me that one because I can't remember what I was going to say. So maybe it's time.
I got one other question when you're done.
I would love for you to ask a question. Thank you.
I bought this SDR receiver. Again, it's still sitting in the box here. But I'm not sure which antenna to use. It says it goes from 160 meters to 23 centimeters. And everything else in between 10 kilohertz and 2 gigahertz.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's a big SDR. It doesn't matter. It matters what frequency you want to listen to.
Oh, okay. So you can't just get one antenna. You have to have one that's tuned to the frequencies.
No. As a matter of fact, I blew out my auto tuner on my radio because I tried to load up a 40-meter antenna on 160 meters, and it wouldn't do it. And it finally blew it up. As soon as I keyed up, it blew. I thought it was, but it wasn't. So,
well, this is just a listening unit, I assume. You don't broadcast with this, or I shouldn't say broadcast.
Yeah,
what's transmit?
Just listen,
it's just a listener.
Right. And there's a lot of antennas that will deliver that. The trouble is that you want an antenna that is related to the frequency that you're doing, i.e., you want, if you're listening for things on 80 meters, then string up a random wire that's 80 meters. Jan, who was on another meeting right now, he strung an HF antenna between his cherry trees in the back, or peach trees, whatever they are. And you get better reception that way because the antenna is resonant with the wavelength of the signal
that you're trying to receive. Then,
right, and so that antenna might work just fine, and I'm sure they picked a good one, but it's not going to get as good as what you would get if you strung out an antenna the proper length. Now, the ARRL manual or the ARRL handbook has what you can use and how you compute that. And you can find it on the Internet if you try. And the idea is that if you're going to do like 40 meters, I had a 40-meter dipole that was wider than, it wasn't 180 degrees, which it should be, but it was about 90. I had that strung in my backyard. I talked all the way to Russia on it.
Wow.
So can be done. Can be done. So you just have to work with it. Look up how long an antenna should be. Mine had it to be about, I think I started with 37 feet, so I made it 39 feet on each long. And I would go and test it, and then I would cut a little off of it.
Okay.
And it would get better. And
so depending on what frequency
more.
You plan on listening on, you tune it to that frequency. So yeah, I guess if you made a switching mechanism and you had several antennas, you could switch it to each one to determine that.
I did. But it worked out even better than that. I had three different antennas I could come in on. And I had three there, and I could connect. Usually, I had two that went to one radio on my HF radio, and then I had one that did 440 and 144, which is UHF and VHF. reversed. So I did that, and yeah, you need to tune the antenna to what you're doing.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we've come to the end. I'm a little bit. There's a big meeting tonight. I want to stay and listen for it. I think it's on this one. Maybe it's on the other one.
No, but, it's on this one.
It's on this one?
Right.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you to everyone who participated, Jim, Fred, or is it Greg? Oh, boy.
Yeah, Greg.
Greg, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm walking a dog right now.
I'm walking myself right now.
I really appreciate all of the input that, and the questions that everybody had tonight. And I thank you for your participation. I hope you come back again. This has been the NLA HamsNet. It happens every week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We talk about anything that has to do with NLA and ham radio. And we welcome participation. Anybody can talk. And I'll leave it at there. I'll say the net is now closed, and thank you very much.